Well, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Boer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we continued on in our series we're calling Kingdom Citizen. We're working our way through the Sermon on the Mount, going through Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And we were in Matthew 7 this Sunday, and I want to read to you the first couple of verses there where it says this. Jesus says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." This idea of judging others, it's kind of a buzzword in our culture, a buzz phrase, right? Don't judge me. Don't tell me what to do, right? Don't tell me what's right or wrong. And so I took a little bit of the time to address that. You know, I don't think Jesus is saying here that we don't ever make moral evaluations as Christians. We don't ever say, hey, this is right and this is wrong, even though our culture oftentimes uses the phrase that way, right? They say, don't judge me. What they really mean is, I don't want you ever to tell me that something is right or wrong. But really, that's sort of a self-defeating argument. When you tell someone else you're wrong for telling anyone what's right or wrong, you've basically told them they're wrong. You see how that's self-defeating, right? You're telling them it's wrong to ever say something is wrong. And so I don't think that's what Jesus is saying here. I do think that Jesus is using the word judge here in the idea of condemning someone else, of sort of hypocritically or harshly judging or being condemning, pronouncing judgment on someone. I think that as a believer in Christ, if it's true that you believe that we are sinners saved by grace, then I think Jesus is absolutely saying, never should a sinner saved by grace be looking at someone else and sort of pronouncing judgment on that person or condemning that person, having an attitude of, you know, you're less than. It's like, man, we are sinners, again, saved by grace. I know that it's not anything good in me, but it's Christ in me. And so when he says, do not judge or you too will be judged, and then he says this is so helpful, the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I think that's such a great word picture, kind of what Jesus is saying here, that if you're sitting there in your interactions with others or in your thoughts with others, kind of putting a measure, putting a spiritual ruler up to that person, right? Holding them up in your mind or in your interaction with them, you're sort of holding up a spiritual or moral ruler and saying, yeah, you know, you fall short here, here, and here. You don't measure up here. You know, you don't pray enough. You don't read the Bible enough. You don't go to church enough. You cuss too much. You're too anxious. You're too immature. You're too angry, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you're kind of always pointing the finger, always putting that ruler up to them and saying, you just don't measure up here, here, and here. Jesus says, don't do that. Are you going to find that's going to be measured to you that same way? Now, verse 12, at the end of this section, Jesus says, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you don't want to feel that way, if you don't want someone sitting there kind of spiritually or morally measuring you up and saying, here's all the places you don't measure up, where you fail, well, then don't do that to others. And then in verses 3-5, when he talks about taking the speck out of your own eye, the plank out of your own eye, there is absolutely a place for Christian accountability, where we help one another grow in Christ's likeness, where we do take the speck out of someone else's eye. But Jesus says, don't try to do that unless you've taken the plank out of your own eye. You're not going to be able to see clearly. If you haven't taken the plank out of your own eye, you try to take the speck out of someone else's eye, you are not going to do that well. You're going to hurt them. And so there's a phrase I've been using recently, relentlessly point the finger at yourself. Relentlessly point the finger at yourself, right? Stop focusing and fixating on, you know, how your spouse needs to change and how your sibling needs to change and how your friend needs to change and how your boss needs to change and how your parents need to change and how your kids need to change, and start asking the question, Lord, how do you want to change me? What's the work you want to do in my life? What's the plank in my eye, Lord? Help me to see that, so that I can take that out. And then when you've done that work, right? Again, there is a place for brothers and sisters in Christ to help one another, to, if necessary, call out the sin in someone else's life and restore them in a spirit of gentleness, as Galatians 6 talks about, to have those difficult conversations in love and in gentleness. But you're not going to do that well if you haven't first taken a long, hard, humble look at your own sin in your own life. And I don't think the point is that we're on the lookout for other people's sin. I think Jesus is saying, man, look at your own life, look in your own heart, look at your own eye. And when you've done that, when you've said, Lord, what do you want to change in me? God can bring you to a place of spiritual maturity and humility to where you'll actually be able to helpfully do that in someone else's life. I think about just Morgan and I's relationship, right? My wife and I, if she and I are constantly pointing the finger at each other, we tend to pick at one another's flaws and we confront one another about those things, not in a healthy, humble way, but in a way that's, hey, your flaws are bothering me. You know, the thing that you're going through right now and that you're not doing well right now, that's just negatively impacting me. When she and I have done the work in our lives to say, no, I need to point the finger at myself. God, what do you want to do in my heart? And we humbly look at our own sin and say, Lord, you know, how do you need to change me? What's the work you want to do in my life? Well, what that results in is usually then when we do see something in the other person, we're able to, in a much more mature way, in a much more humble and loving way, come alongside that person and say, hey, how can I help you in this area? Because you're thinking about it from a proper perspective. You're thinking about it from God's perspective, right? Hey, this person seems like they're, you know, irritable or tired today or whatever it may be. And instead of just saying, how does that negatively affect me? You're saying, they must be going through something right now. And how can I help them? Lord, how can you use me to help this person? How can I serve and love my spouse right now? But that happens by first, right? Relentlessly pointing the finger at yourself, taking the plank out of your own eye so that you can see clearly to help your brother or sister in Christ. Taking your own sin to the Lord, it's humbling, but ultimately it's healthy. Criticizing others is easy, but ultimately it's destructive. And so we need to not judge, right? Recognize that is the Lord's position, the Lord's place. We need to take the plank out of our own eye, point the finger at ourselves. And then I'll close with this. I told our folks, you know, we don't judge others because that's God's place, right? He is the judge. But the wonderful news of the gospel is that the judge became the judged for us. We don't have to judge others. We know that that's God's place. He will judge us. But the good news of the gospel is that we know we're not going to be condemned for our sin. Jesus didn't come to condemn. He came to save. And the judge himself put on flesh and became the judged. He was punished and convicted, right? And put on the cross, judged. He took the wrath of God on himself for you and for me, that we might be free and have life and be forgiven in and through Christ. So what I want to do is I want to pray for you. I want to thank you for joining us right now. And I hope you'll tune in again tomorrow. But I want to pray for you that if you're a believer, that God would help you live this out. If you're not a believer, that you'd accept Christ. And then I want to encourage you that you'll take some time and pray for yourself. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, God, for those of us who do believe and who know you and love you, God, I do pray that you would help us not to judge, not to put up a harsh ruler against others, Father, but rather to be kind and loving, take the plank out of our own eye, Lord, to not be hypocrites. But to look at ourselves and say, Lord, what do you want to change in us? I pray that you would help us to do that so that we can see clearly to help our brothers and sisters in Christ and to speak the truth in love. And Father, if there are any who are listening who have never embraced you as Savior and Lord, I pray that they would hear those words, that the judge became the judged for them, that you took on our sin on yourself and you bore the punishment, Lord, that we deserved because of love, because you loved us. And God, may the gospel enlighten our hearts. May your love, Lord, bring us to yourself. And God, I pray that in Jesus' name. Take some time now just to pray for yourself.